Sports Illustrated has named soccer superstar Megan Rapinoe its Sports Person of the Year. Rapinoe accepted the award on Monday, but not before calling out the magazine, which has honored a woman just 4 times in 66 years.
Is it true that I am the 4th woman deserving of this award? I don't think so.
This summer, Rapinoe led the U.S. women's national team to its 4th World Cup title. FIFA named her the best female player in the world. And off the field, she's gained celebrity for her activism. She and her teammates are suing U.S. soccer for equal pay with the men. She's been criticized for her national anthem protests and her refusal to meet with President Trump at the White House. I spoke with Megan Rapinoe yesterday, and this is our conversation. Megan Rapinoe, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome to Here and Now.
But of course, thanks for having me.
I think it's probably fair to say that you had a pretty good 2019.
It's been decent. It's probably up there in the top 5-6 years of my life.
Really? Yeah. I was going to ask you if it wasn't the best year of your life.
Yeah. I mean, like, by a multiple of infinity, it's the best and craziest and most wild year I've ever had.
So I would imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine the World Cup victory is top on the list.
No, not even close. I mean, that's amazing. Obviously, that was like, that's my job, and that was sort of the objective. We did the thing we were supposed to do, but what we've been able to do since, and the conversation we've started, and the way that we've been able to transcend sport into talking about all these other things, honestly, that matter so much more in the country right now, is by far the most rewarding part of all of it.
To that end, Sports Illustrated recently honored you for that work, not only on the field, but off the field. You accepted the award this week, and you had some tough words for the magazine on diversity. Tell me more about what you were trying to get at, and if you think that discrimination against women in sports is endemic in the industry.
Oh, it's certainly endemic. It's, something that we've been dealing with for basically the whole existence of women's sports. If you think about a publication like that, like they're charged with intaking the news, seeing the news, seeing sports, watching games, whatever, and then spitting back out whatever we feel like is the truth or the stories or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you only have, X amount of, a small percentage of women writers, a small percentage of writers of color, whatever, then like what truth are you putting back into the world? What stories are you telling? Not that white men can't also tell stories of women and people of color, but I just don't believe you get the holistic story of the truth of sports in America and abroad. And I think there's no greater example of that than I'm only the 4th woman to ever be on the cover.
So, in 66 years.
In 66 years. I mean, that's insane. I'm clearly not the only deserving one. And I would argue, actually, I mean, I think a huge reason why I was even on the cover is for all the stuff off. And I'm a very good athlete. I don't know if I'm like one of the greatest of all time athletes in my sport.
Was it always clear to you that you would be an athlete and an activist?
I think so. I've certainly matured and grown into this role where I would, probably argue that I'm maybe more of an activist than an athlete. And that's certainly something that I bring with me everywhere. But I think being in women's sports demands that you're an activist anyway. So you're usually underpaid. You're usually, not shown as much on TV. There's a lack of investment. A lot of the management and leadership of sports and of the TV industry, all of it is a lot of men. So I think that innate of being a female athlete, you're sort of skins in the game already.
Yeah. And now it looks like you're thinking about getting into the 2020 race, not as a candidate, but as an advocate.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, you've said this week that you were all on board. You want to be on the campaign bus. You want to be on that campaign airplane. Really, literally.
That's me assuming they're going to want me in there. But I feel like even just to like in a sort of, bipartisan way, just like get people to vote, get people more interested, and throw whatever weight behind it I can, I will certainly want to.
Are you ready to endorse?
No, I'm not ready to endorse.
What about what candidates intrigue you?
I think a Warren Harris ticket would be fire. Talk about, two super smart, sharp, women who don't back down to anyone. So that's interesting. Obviously, Bernie is, especially with younger people, I mean, he's like on fire and has been for a long time.
It sounds you are part of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think this, like, walking of a moderate line really gets us anywhere. I think that we're that is trying to play this game with Trump of being electable and, you know, not being too far. But when it's like, really, I think we know that these like radical policies could change the world for the better. So why not go all in on that?
Look, as you well know, politics are ugly. You get involved with them, mud tends to fly. And some of your fans, I know, were not all that happy when you started kneeling for the national anthem starting in 2016.
So mad.
In solidarity with Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. Also, people were not happy with the way you used an expletive to say you weren't going to be going to the White House.
Yeah.
You know, that's history. Uh-huh. But I do wonder, why not open a dialogue with someone you deeply disagree with, like the president? Don't we need that right now?
I absolutely think we do. And if I felt that there was any genuine bone or thread in his body that would allow for that kind of conversation, then I would absolutely have that conversation. I'm, you know, totally not opposed to talking to any Trump supporters or people on the other side, whatever. I've from a very conservative area and have many conversations with my family all
the time.
Shasta
County, Northern California.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Shout out Redding, 530. But no, I think that he would try to spin it, use it for whatever political gain or whatever personal, really, actually, whatever personal gain that he could. And so I'm not going to allow myself to be duped. I think that we can have a national conversation without having it with Trump, because I don't think he's really interested in having any conversation about how we can make this world a better place for all of us.
Megan Rapinoe, star of soccer. Can we talk about the game?
Yes.
Okay, Tokyo Olympics coming up this summer, 2020. Qualifying tournament is in January.
Yeah.
Right? So how are you getting ready? Are you ready? How do you feel?
I'm not ready yet, but I will be by the time it comes around. After today, actually, I'm kind of shutting down for the entire year, and then it's really like a shift in focus from, you know, traveling and doing all of this, which I think is very important, not only for myself and the game, but obviously for the world at large. And so that'll shift into, you know, focusing on preparation for the Olympics. And we kind of have to do this all of the time, obviously, with the salary disparity that we have and sort of the lack of salary. We are always doing appearances and ad campaigns and all kinds of marketing and media. So we sort of know how to balance a lot of things at once. But certainly this has been crazier than it's ever been, and I'm looking forward to settling back into my real job.
After such a dramatic World Cup win, do you go into the Olympics, assuming you qualify, just assuming you're going to win the gold medal?
Yes, in a way that I hope people don't take as arrogant or conceited or overconfident. We think we're going to win every game, whether it's like a 5v5 game in training or the World Cup final or whatever it is. That's our mindset. We don't win every game. We're not successful every time, but that's always the expectation. You know, firsthand, we know it's very difficult to win in Olympics after coming off a World Cup year because of all the stuff that we talked about. Everyone's busy and doing a million things, and certainly this year was wilder than ever. I'll probably force myself on the team in this way, but I think that's our public stance. We think we can win the Olympics, and that's our goal. And that's, we're not going to say, oh, we hope that we can put the best performance. No, we want to win always.
Look, you told Sports Illustrated that one of your biggest fears, first of all, is claustrophobia, which some people might be interested to hear.
Ugh.
Secondly, that you worry that people will see you as a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
is that possible?
I just never want to be seen as someone who's, like, leveraging, you know, especially with the activism stuff. Never seen as,
it's
like,
more as an activist than as an athlete?
Yeah, more of an activist than an athlete, for sure. I mean, I think you get out on the field and you're sort of laid bare and all of it. It's like you're either keeping up or you're not. So that's a little bit different. But certainly in the activist space and in the public space, I never want to be seen as a person who's leveraging all of these really important movements, while understanding that as a white female, I have a different experience in it than Colin has or than other people have in
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick. So I'm here because of a lot of different people's work, and I never want to just like leverage that for my own personal gain.
And you have become such an icon to people. To adults, to children, to young girls, to young men.
So wild. so weird.
Well, and in fact, I think that's worth noting because we asked a 12-year-old girl, our producer Ashley's neighbor, her name is Natalie Alvarenga.
Mm-hmm.
She loves soccer. We thought, well, what would Natalie ask? And she wants to know what characteristics are important to have a successful soccer career like yours.
Oof. I think you really do have to enjoy it and sort of revel in it all. Like, I get to play a game that I've played since I was a kid and do it for a living, and people pay me for it, albeit not enough. But eventually we'll change that, hopefully, by the time she's on the team. I think you have to have a grittiness and a determination. And then I think you have to be shifty in it, especially as you get older. I think there's a time in every athlete's career where you either get old or you get better.
Well, I think you made a 12-year-old soccer fan's day.
Yeah, very cute. Hi.
Megan Rapinoe, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
And I spoke with Megan in Boston at the Massachusetts Conference for Women. We covered a lot of issues in the conversation, including how much longer she can play. She's 34 years old. And we have a video of her talking about her experience coming out as gay. You can find it at hereandnow.org.